All right, this is the Rebel Room right here on LasVegasSun.com. I'm Ray Brewer alongside with Mike Grimala, talking all things UNLV athletics. And Mike, it seems like every day that UNLV basketball roster is starting to take more shape with players leaving to players coming. We're starting to get a more clear picture or a closer to clear picture about how the rotation will look next year. Four players from the Big 12 conference have come to UNLV in the last, 8 days or so. And then just last night, this is a Monday, David Jenkins is going to Utah. Bryce Hamilton's in the portal. What do you make of it? Are they better now than they were a month ago?
They are different, and they are going to be built differently, I think, is what we've learned from the players that Kruger has added. As you mentioned, they're all, Big 12 transfers. And just from the look of things, it's a different style of team building. It's they longer, it's more athletic, it's more defensive minded. So it's not going to be the same type of team that you saw the last 2 years under TJ Otzelberger. So I think none of these guys that they've brought in via the transfer portal have played very much in college. They're mostly been, reserves or haven't been able to get a lot of playing time at their first schools. But just from the measurables, it seems like you can kind of get an idea of the kind of team that Kruger wants to build and have here at UNLV.
Sure. I appreciate the fact that if you look at all these players as if they were back in high school, we're talking four-star guys, right, who rightfully went to the Big 12, to Oklahoma, to Texas, to West Virginia. If you look at their body of work in college, you've got inconsistent play, you've got injuries, and the bottom line is that some players just aren't fits in some programs. So my dad, who, as you know, is a huge Rebel fan, he added up the points per game. I think I texted this to you, like, hey, the Rebels have now added 8 points per game through four players or whatever. And you text me back, being the ultimate positive human being that you are, that, yeah, but they also got 8 years of Big 12 experience or whatever the situation is. So at least they're getting experienced players, because, as you know, my big argument with David Jenkins and Cody Doolin was, these are guys that were doing things at South Dakota and San Francisco. Let's get some guys that played against some Jimmys and Joes, baby.
Well, yeah, and if you say that these guys that they're bringing in, couldn't get playing time in the Big 12, they were backups in the Big 12. Well, the guys that they're replacing were, Donovan Yap, Jaylon Martinez, Isaac Lindsay, guys who couldn't get playing time in the Mountain West. So you're definitely upgrading the back of your rotation at the very least. The question is, like, at some point, how do you replace the top end players that you had, which is, I guess, Bryce Hamilton, Jenkins, Caleb Grill, guys who were starters last year? How do you replace them? Who are going to be the starters on this year's team or next year's team? But I'm not so much worried about experience or I'm not so much worried about the point totals that these guys had last year, because the guys they're replacing gave you literally nothing. Like, these guys, the freshmen that went into the portal for UNLV they didn't even play last year. So you're upgrading your roster in that sense. And they're not done. They've got a lot more to go. They've got to add, three or four more guys. We don't know what's going to happen or who they're really targeting. So I like what I've seen so far from the limited amount of these players I've seen. I think you can probably cobble them together into a somewhat competitive Mountain West team if you had to.
Yeah. Who's the player that stands out? Is there one guy where you're like, okay, there's something here? Because, you go back to when David Jenkins came 2 years ago, it was like, all right, well, David Jenkins is a shooter. UNLV needs a shooter. This guy's going to be the guy. Who's the guy? Who's got you most jazzed up?
The one that's the most intriguing, I guess, is Donovan Williams, who's the guard. They got him he went to Texas for a couple of years. He's a former top 100 recruit, former four-star guy. 10 minutes as a freshman, 11 minutes as a sophomore, didn't play a lot, didn't shoot the ball well, but he's like, I watched just a, a, a couple of videos of, you know, some of his highlights from last year. And just the thing that stands out is 6'6", super long arms, just crazy length. He plays above the rim. He's the kind of athlete that UNLV just, they weren't really recruiting under Otzelberger. He didn't like those type of players. He wanted more offensives. He wanted guys that could shoot and pass and think the game. He would, if you were short and had stubby arms and had trouble running, he would take you if you could shoot and pass and run his offense. And Kruger, I think you're already seeing a philosophical shift where it's like, yeah, it's nice if you can do those things, but we also want some Joes. We want guys that look like you. We want, you know, basketball player. We want big athletes, guys that can cover the court. And so Williams stands out to me. I think if you wanted to dream, you could say, well, if he lives up to his top 100 billing and a guy like Nick Blake lives up to his top 100 billing, then boom, for the next 2 years, you've got 6'6" wings who can play defense, run the floor, get into passing lanes. They're both long. They can play above the rim. You could have a nice little tandem there if both of those guys hit. So I think Williams is probably the most intriguing for me so far. And then the two big men, I think, are mostly just defensive-minded athletes, rebounders types. But Williams is the one guy who really stood out to me when I watched the little bit of tape that I've seen so far.
So here's my deal. I thought the first player they got, Jordan McCabe from West Virginia, well, he kind of fizzled out there. Obviously, he's a good ball handler. And UNLV just didn't have a point guard last year. And we don't know if Marvin Coleman's going to be back or healthy or, you know, we don't know the situation in the backcourt. And here's a guy that, you know, could at least bring the ball up the court. I still think they need more players in the backcourt. But for me, that feels kind of an immediate need. They need somebody to take over the team.
I think you hit that one pretty directly. And Jordan McCabe is the one guy, that mold that I was just talking about, like the long, athletic, tear up and down the court. McCabe is the one guy who does not fit that mold at all. He's a short point guard. He's not a great athlete. He's not even a good athlete. He doesn't fly up and down the court, below the rim. He's not an athletic dude, but they just need someone that can handle the ball. And he's a great ball handler. He can dribble the ball up the floor. He can dribble it around. He can run pick and rolls, which is someone that literally no one on their team could do last year. They had no one that could run a pick and roll. And McCabe can at least do that. So he doesn't really fit into the athletic mold that I think they're building, but the fact that you just need a point guard and he's available and he's willing to commit right now. And you know, you can, if you'd like, you know, you're still recruiting like a Mike Saunders from Cincinnati, who's a, you know, fast athlete at the point. If you get someone like that, great. But if you don't, if nothing else materializes on the point guard front, getting a commitment from Jordan McCabe helps, just because you can give him the ball next year and be like, okay, Marvin Coleman will be like the, you know, either co-starters or your backup, however the depth chart works out. It's like, well, McCabe, you can count on him to be a point guard. He's a true point guard. He'll handle the ball. He'll run your offense. So that's probably the one guy that doesn't really fit into that mold that Kruger is looking for, but they had a reason to take him.
Sure. So it looks like the holdovers are going to be Blake, Moses Wood, Marvin Coleman. Is that your math?
Yeah, and possibly Jong, if he comes back, Mbaké Jong. And is there one more guy that I thought it was four on the list, but I'll look it up. But, yeah, those are the it's a very small core of returning players coming back.
Okay, you know, it's just I think there's the need – any sports team on any level, there's the need to want to win, you know, sooner than later. And, you know – it's just every year when you have these massive reflips, it's really tough to build anything, to have any kind of chemistry. I'm a chemistry guy, Grimala, right? You just can't get guys from various programs and get them to, you know, mold together and all of a sudden win games. So for me, I think that's the biggest challenge, is getting a roster on paper and letting them go. I just, you know, how do you think they merge that gap?
I think There's really no way to tell until you get the entire team in here. Right now, they've got half a team. Reese Brown is the other guy that is so far not in the transfer portal from last year, the freshman holdover. I don't know how that works out. I think if you've got Marvin Coleman on your team, that's a great start in terms of chemistry. I think the other thing that plays into chemistry is play style. Like, what style are you going to play, and is everyone going to buy into it? And if that comes down to coaching, the definition of your vision, if Kevin Kruger comes in and says, like, hey guys, we're going to play a bunch of 6'7" long, quick athletes. We're just going to lock down on defense. We're going to try to win games 50-46. And that's how we're going to play every night. And the guys who buy into that are going to play. And then you recruit guys who are capable of doing that and who want to do that. And that's the way they want to play. Then I think it's easy for everyone to buy in and everyone's on the same page. And then your chemistry is great. Where you run into problems maybe is where if you're recruiting guys who don't really fit into that mold, like say we want to win games 50-46 and we're going to have a super defensive emphasis and that's who we're going to recruit. But then a five-star comes along who plays at, you know, Bishop Gorman or some local school, and he doesn't really fit that mold. He's a gunner. He's a one and done, wants to score his points and go to the NBA. But you kind of have to take him because if a guy like that, if a five-star homegrown wants to come to UNLV, you kind of have to take him. Like, that's the kind of situation that could impact chemistry. But if you've got a defined vision, you're recruiting the right kids, regardless of individual personalities, if you stick to that philosophy, I think your chemistry will be good. You'll have good on-court chemistry. I have, you know, Kruger's given us no reason so far to think that that's not going to be – to think that that's going to be an issue. I think they'll be okay.
Sure. So
if that makes sense.
Yeah. So it's too kind of early to predict their lineup just because we know that they got four spots left or five spots left or whatever the case will be. I will say, if you're asking me who else do they need, I think that they don't have a good shooter anywhere. And if I'm them, I'm looking for somebody who could light it up from the outside.
I would agree with you on that. It's a question of how much do you want to sacrifice your other for, like, if there's a shooter in the transfer portal who can come in and shoot 40%, like say David Jenkins was from another school and interested in coming into UNLV, like a guy with a similar profile. Would you take a guy like that who's going to make a ton of shots, but does not fit into the rest of your philosophy? He's short. He's a little, you know, short arms, doesn't get up. He doesn't make an impact on defense, probably hurts you there. How much of that are you willing to trade for a shooter? Because guys who play lockdown defense and make shots, they're hard to get. So, like, I think you kind of have to trade and make those decisions based on who's available in the portal, who's willing to come. But I do agree with you. If you look at what they got now, they don't have shooters. Like Donovan Williams, Jordan McCabe, like those guys – for what they bring to the table, they were not good shooters. So it's like, I don't know. Right. They definitely need guys who can put the ball in the basket in general.
I mean, I think the one thing that everybody's going to do is they're going to try to compare the successful lawn teams to what's being built here by Kevin, right? It's mm-hmm. only natural.
Yep.
And you look, lawn had a guy like Kendall Wallace, who could come in off the bench, give you 12-15 a game, stretch the defense, maybe hit a three-pointer. His other point guards weren't like – or his other guards weren't great, like Justin Hawkins or, right, great defender, Anthony Marshall, not a great shooter, Oscar Belfield, not a great shooter. But he had a Kendall Wallace who he could put in for a few stretches, maybe get on a heater, maybe hit a few threes. And all was good.
It's
for whatever it's worth. I love shooters. You got to get at least one.
Are you worried about the streak?
Absolutely. Why do you think I'm saying it? I mean,
when I tell you that they're going to score in the 50s on most nights, and the two guards that they've signed so far shot below 30% from three last year. Yeah.
Well, you got to also remember, though, in the Big 12, they probably close out a little quicker than Air Force does or Wyoming. You know, I think the game's going to slow down a lot for these guys from the Big 12.
No, I agree. I think that's a lot of what they're, that's kind of the idea behind going up to the Power Five and bringing guys down, dropping them down a level and hoping for increased production. So yeah, I still think it's too early to start targeting like individual, like what do we need? Like the player that you're describing, like a bench 3-point shooter who can hold his own in defense. That's kind of like a niche role where I'm not sure, like, there's 1,000 players in the transfer portal. I'm sure there's a bunch who could do that. I don't know which ones they're after, but that sounds like a player they could get. It depends on what exactly Kruger wants to build, what's available, what kind of relationships he has with those players that, you know, might want to come to UNLV. It's hard to say. It's all I know so far is that they are emphasizing defense way more than they did under TJ Otzenberger. If you want to make a comparison, Otzenberger was kind of like if he's recruiting a guy, it's like, hey, can you play defense? Well, you know what, when you're playing football and you say, hey, can a guy, he's a defensive lineman, how does he defend the run? And the coach says, well, he defends the run on the way to the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Like that's kind of how TJ looked at defense. He's like, you'll play defense on your way to shooting a 3-pointer. Sure. That's not going to fly under Kruger. He's more like, hey, we need guys who can dig in first and foremost, be athletic, play defense, rebound. So I think that's probably what those are the traits they're looking for in the portal, more so than like a 3-point specialist, even though they will eventually need shooters.
I mean, and Moses Wood is, you know, 37% from three. So maybe he's that guy.
Moses Wood did surprise me last year with being passable on defense. I didn't think he was going to be able to defend well enough to earn minutes, but he did. He played hard. He played well. He made shots. I think he's a good piece. So there's a guy who can make 3-pointers. I still think Marvin Coleman could develop his 3-point shot a little bit. He could maybe get over 35-36%. If you're projecting, but yeah, I don't know. I don't think they're going to win just based on the very, very little that we've seen. I don't think they're going to try and win games by making a bunch of threes. I think they're going to try and win games by playing defense for 30 seconds and then getting the defensive rebound. That's what I think so far.
Well, that worries me, but it is what it is. We worry about it in the second half when they haven't hit a three. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I think it's like, it's part of taking over, you know, your first year. It's like, you don't really have time to put together a high school class. So what's available in the portal, I think you'll get a truer sense of, you get a better chance to get talented players and develop them into what you want when you're recruiting at the high school level. So we'll see what Kruger wants to do in 2022, 2023. But for now, I think when you're trying to cobble together something for this coming season, probably the fastest way he thinks to compete is to play great defense, try to stifle everyone, and just try to grind it out that way.
Yeah, I mean, high school recruiting now looks different than it did 3 years ago because of the portal. I mean, you don't have to necessarily hit in NCAA in high school recruiting, right?
Yeah, and it's also, it gives you that chance for a rebound or a do-over because, you know, you recruit someone out of high school, you're in the you're one of the final three or something, and you don't get him. Hey, maybe you stay on good terms. Maybe he doesn't play as a freshman wherever he goes. And then he comes back to you a year later and he's eligible immediately. Kind of what people are speculating about. From Oklahoma, Jalen Hill. Yeah. So like he's a guy who was, you know, considered UNLV, didn't play a ton at Oklahoma. So now with the coaching situation, it's like, hey, maybe you can get him to come back. He was interested the first time around. So recruiting is going to look different for sure.
Sure. Absolutely. All right. Well, thought it'd be important to update everybody where the program's at. And we'll keep everybody posted. Probably be back, Mike, in what, 2 weeks or so, talk a little UNLV football. I don't know if they're doing a spring game, but they're doing a spring something or other that we'll get probably some access to. And we'll make it happen, brother.
Yeah, I'll be there.
All right, man. Well, for Mike, I'm Ray, and we hope everybody has a great week, and we'll talk to you next time.